apps can do a lot of cool things. You could order dinner, gamble on your favorite team, and track your health. You could even get a mortgage. One click and you can be approved. I'm not sure by who or what country they're in. You deserve more from the mortgage industry. At AnnieMack Home Mortgage, we believe in the need for live human interaction during a very complex process. The kind of service and guidance which an app simply can't provide. Our customers are more than credit scores and income documents. They're individuals and families who live in and strengthen our communities. Their story is our story, and that story begins in a home. Chris Sawyer is an expert on providing superior customer service and in meeting the mortgage needs of current and future home buyers. With over 18 years of experience in the industry, Chris is able to help customers migrate through the home buying and home financing process by using his wealth of knowledge as a well-qualified mortgage professional. And best of all, Chris is located in Cromwell, Connecticut, where he has helped hundreds of clients in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island make their dreams of home ownership a reality. Visit chrissawyer.annie-mac.com, email him at csawyer@annie-mac.com, or give him a call, 860-878-8730.
Chris Sawyer, NMLS number 39345, corporate NMLS number 338923, Annie Mac Home Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender, American Neighborhood Mortgage Acceptance Company, LLC, DBA, Annie Mac Home Mortgage, LoFi Direct, Connecticut First Mortgage Correspondent, License Lender, Broker Number, ML338923, Massachusetts Mortgage Lender and Mortgage Broker License Number, MC338923, Rhode Island License Lender, License Number 20112810L. Call for additional details.
Welcome to Sports Talk with RNJ. I am Steve Risser, along here with Justin D'Onofrio, and we are here. It is the NFL Draft. It is draft day. Tomorrow is the draft in the NFL. And as we do every year, we got our mock draft and we got it today. And we're going to get right into it. I think we both kind of know what's going to happen at one. I think everyone knows what's going to happen at one. We kind of knew after the Bears traded Justin Fields what was going to happen at one. So with the first overall pick with the Bears, it's pretty obvious. I got them selecting Caleb Williams. Justin, I'm assuming you got the same.
I got Caleb Williams as well. This has been the number one pick for the last year. And Chicago hopefully finally gets a franchise quarterback.
Exactly. So now the draft starts at two. And GM Adam Peters has said the Commanders are probably going to stay at two. They're not sure what quarterback they're going to take, but it looks like they're going to stay at two. It's definitely between Drake May and Jaden Daniels. And I think they're going to go with the Heisman Trophy winner here. I think they go with Jaden Daniels as the second overall pick in the draft. I think the Commanders take Jaden Daniels second overall. Justin, what do you got the Commanders doing at two?
I got the Commanders going as well here with Jaden Daniels. You know, they brought in Cliff Kingsbury. This kind of, you know, Jaden Daniels kind of fits more Cliff Kingsbury style, you know, a little bit more than Drake May would. You know, he's a guy that's Washington's kind of seen this with, like, RG3, a quarterback that doesn't really know how to protect himself great yet. You know, that's something he's got to learn how to do. But he had an awesome year, his fifth year in college. And, yeah, I think Washington goes here with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I agree. They obviously need a quarterback. I know their defense isn't that good, but they hired Dan Quinn. They signed Bobby Wagner. So they're making some steps in the right direction on the defensive side of the ball. But I think it is obvious that this Washington team needs a quarterback. This Washington team needs a quarterback because they traded Sam Howell to the Seahawks. I think Daniels would be a good fit, especially with, you know, a receiver like Terry McLaurin. You got Jahan Dotson there. I think Jaden Daniels would be a good fit with the Commanders at two. But now we are going to move on to your Patriots at three. And, you know, there are rumors out there that they might trade down to get more picks, but I think this is obvious for the Patriots. They have got to take a quarterback here. They have got to take a quarterback. If they don't take a quarterback in the first round, that is Elliott Wolf should get ripped. Elliott Wolf should get a ton of criticism if they don't take a quarterback here, because they obviously need a quarterback. And it's Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappe are the two quarterbacks on their roster. And we saw Bailey Zappe play last year. You don't want him being your starting quarterback. And Jacoby Brissett's been a journeyman throughout his career. So the Patriots need to take a quarterback here. They absolutely have to take a quarterback at three. And for me, I got them taking Drake May. I got them going number three overall, taking Drake May. But Justin, I know you've been kind of, you know, against the Patriots taking Drake May or taking a quarterback at three. Are you still against them doing that?
I am, but I'm going with Drake May because I just think that's what they're going to do. I wanted Marvin Harrison to trade back then late and go get Michael Penix, but with everything going on with Robert Kraft right now, and the fans really starting to not be on the side with things, with the way the dynasty's gone down and him publicly kind of hurting his bills trying to get the Atlanta job, I think he wants to go get that young, flashy quarterback that's going to hopefully put people back on his side. And I think they go Drake May here. But again, I just don't think this is going to work out because he's got nobody to throw to and he's got no offensive line. So I hope Drake May the best here. And I hope, you know, our offense is a little bit more fun to watch, but offense is still not great. And it's a tough situation to throw Drake May in here. So I wouldn't even mind if he sits a couple games and Jacoby Brissett starts the year off and let May sit a bit.
Here's the thing. Their offense can't get any worse than it did last year. They had three straight games where they allowed 10 points or less and lost all three of those games. And those were not three great defenses last year they went up against. It was the Colts, the Giants, and the Chargers. That shows you how pathetic the Patriots were on offense last year. But if Drake May goes to the Patriots, he's going to be on the field by October because they're going to get off to a slow start with Jacoby Brissett. And they're going to realize, what's the point in playing Jacoby Brissett if you're 1-4 after five games? I think by the month of October, if they take Drake May, he's going to be on the field. I don't want to hear, oh, he's not going to play until Thanksgiving. No, these rookie quarterbacks, they get on the field because the alternative just isn't very good. The alternative is Jacoby Brissett or Bailey Zappe. So Drake May, if the Patriots take him at three, he's going to be on the field by October. I'm pretty confident of that. He's going to be on the field come October if the Patriots take number three overall. But as I've said, the Patriots have to take a quarterback here. This is where it starts. This is where a franchise starts. Patriot fans should know they had the greatest quarterback of all time for 20 years, the best to ever do it, and they won six Super Bowls, and he was the biggest reason why. Even a bigger reason than their head coach and their, you know, quote-unquote Patriot way, he was the biggest reason why they won those six Super Bowls. So you have to. The Patriot fans should know. You got to take a quarterback here. I just don't think they have any. If they don't, I am going to be all over. If they don't come out of this first or the first round of the draft with a quarterback, I'm going to be all over Elliott Wolf. They have no choice. They have to take a quarterback here. They should not trade down or draft Marvin Harrison. It starts in the quarterback position. You look at teams like the Bengals with Joe Burrow. You look at teams like the Texans with C.J. Stroud. You look at teams like the Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence. You look at teams like the Bills with Josh Allen. A top quarterback changes a franchise. That's why you have to. You have to take a quarterback here.
And I completely agree with you. I just don't know who he's throwing the ball to. Our wide receiver core isn't hideous. Like, it is better. Like, you know, Kendrick Bourne's going to be back. You know, Demaryius Douglas had a nice year. Yeah, like, those guys had nice years. We just don't have that dynamic number one. Like, you know, where Joe Burrow's got Ja'Marr Chase with him. You know, we don't have that.
Yeah, but Joe Burrow put up numbers. I know he didn't win a ton of games his rookie year, but he put up numbers. He looked good even without Ja'Marr Chase. I know he had T. Higgins, but he looked good without Ja'Marr Chase's rookie year. You look at C.J. Stroud last year. He really didn't have it. I mean, if you want to consider Nico Collins a true number one, he really didn't have a true number one. He got that team in the divisional round. It all starts at the quarterback position in this league. This is why it would be a massive mistake if the Patriots don't take a quarterback here.
Yeah, again, they so many holes. Like, I'd be fine if they go even a Joel or Marvin Harrison and then trade back and go get somebody later in the first round of quarterback. You know, that'd be fine. I don't want Bo Nix. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. I'd rather take Michael Penix, but I'm with you. I think it's going to be a quarterback here. You know, and I don't think Elliott Wolf's going to make the pick. Kraft again said this week they're taking back their franchise over, or that's what the thing is. It's Jonathan Kraft that's making the pick. I think that's why Elliott Wolf was never the GM. So I think it's I you know, so if it goes bad, they can blame Elliott Wolf. They won't, you know, Kraft won't get, you know, so the Kraft can't, you know, won't take the blame.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but whoever's pick it is, it's got to be a QB. It has got to be a QB here. That is the beginning of them turning stuff around. I think you draft Drake May here, and then you start to build around. Yeah, you're probably not going to be good next year, but if you build, you do it the right way, you build around the rookie quarterback, there's a good chance you're a playoff contender in 2025.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, I know Bill's last couple draft classes haven't been great. Last year's looks promising. You know, last year's couple of guys played really well. You know, Zaz got hurt early on. So, yeah, you know, there's some young talent. They didn't spend any money to go get anybody. So, you know, especially offensively. So we'll see. You know, they got to get an offensive lineman too. But, yeah, if they could – they draft well here, yes, I think next year, possibly, you know, they could possibly be back in that playoff conversation. That's where I would like to be. It can't get much any worse offensively next year, so it has to be better. Like, it's pretty hard to be worse. So,
oh yeah, you were the worst in the league. It was the worst in the league last year. The offense was the worst in football. You could say the Giants, but the Giants played three quarterbacks. You could say the Jets, but they had lost their starting quarterback. You could even say maybe the Panthers, but they had a rookie starter. The Patriots were the worst offense in football last year.
Yeah, oh yeah, by far. That was pathetic week in and week out that they could not score any points. So, yeah, you can only go up. I guess that's a positive here. So, yeah, got to be better. I just hope they put Drake May in a better situation than Mac Jones did. And, you know, it goes a little bit better because, yeah, that again, because we'll just be in the same position in 3 years. That's kind of the cycle now in the NFL. You don't hit the quarterback, you're kind of reset. It's the merry-go-round.
Exactly. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what the Patriots do at three, but I think it's definitely got to be a quarterback. So with the number four overall pick, that's the Cardinals pick. I think this is pretty obvious because this is probably the most sure thing in this draft. And he's still going to be on the board at four because I think three quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3. I think the Cardinals should stay at four and draft Marvin Harrison Jr. I think it'd be a really good weapon for Kyler Murray. They did lose Hollywood Brown, but I think the upside of Marvin Harrison Jr. is much more. Hollywood Brown is good. Marvin Harrison, it's got a really good chance to be a top 10 receiver in this league, just like his dad was for years. He's got a chance to be a Hall of Famer. He's got a chance to wear a gold jacket. That's how good Marvin Harrison was. Marvin Harrison had average quarterback play last year in his last year in college with Kyle McCord, and he still had a huge year. So, and I watched that entire Penn State Ohio State game. He was clearly the best player on the field. So I think it's pretty obvious with the Cardinals at four, they got to take Marvin Harrison Jr. Justin, what do you got the Cards doing at four?
I'm with you here. I got Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah, you can make the case he's definitely the best player in the draft. And Arizona, kind of before the year, everyone thought it was going to be the worst team and that it was a done deal. They're going to get Caleb Williams. Well, you know, they were a little bit better than what he thought. And your consolation prize is going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. It's not bad. He did have a few drops last year that he should have held, a couple balls he should have held on to, but like other than that, he's got all the physical gifts that you need from a wide receiver, and he's got the pedigree too. So yeah, Marvin Harrison looks like an absolute stud, and him and Kyle Murray, that should be a fun duo down there down the desert.
Oh, it should be. It definitely should be a fun duo down there if the Cardinals do what they should do and take Harrison with the fourth overall pick. Now, with the fifth overall pick, this is where I have a trade. Okay, I know it's pretty obvious. A lot of people have been talking about trades with that pick, but with the fifth overall pick, I have the Chargers trading this pick to the Vikings. I have the Chargers getting the Vikings' number 11 pick and then getting their 23rd, getting their 23rd selection later in the first round. But with this pick, I got the Vikings trading up to take JJ McCarthy from Michigan. So I got JJ McCarthy going number 5. Oh, I know it's high, but the Vikings want a quarterback. I think they're desperate for a quarterback, and I think they trade up to get JJ McCarthy here. I got the Vikings taking JJ McCarthy with the fifth overall pick. Justin, what do you get the Chargers doing at 5?
I get the Chargers going offensive lineman. I got them taking Joe Alt, the tackle out of Notre Dame. Again, Harbaugh's bread and butter is kind of, he wants to run the football. He wants to be physical up front. And that's why I think the Chargers could absolutely trade this pick to Minnesota. The Chargers could definitely get a wide receiver here. But I think to protect Justin Herbert and for what Harbaugh wants to do here offensively, and Greg Roman too as an OC, you know, he's usually, he likes to run first. It's kind of his tendency as an OC. So this is why I think Joel Alt here is going to be perfect. Just a fit here for the Los Angeles Chargers, kind of building that offensive line. I think you could get a wide receiver later on, and I think that's why you get Joel Alt, one of the best tackles, in the draft.
Yeah, I agree. I think Joel. I mean, I think the Chargers are going to trade the pick, but I definitely think the Chargers do go offensive line with this with their top 50 first pick. So I do. If it's not, you know, McCarthy, if McCarthy's not there, if they don't trade up, I think they take either a receiver or they take Joe Alt. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. I think the Vikings trade up because I think they're desperate for a quarterback. But yeah, but also for the Chargers, I think it'll be interesting what they do here. And Joe Alt is definitely going to be the best. He's come from O-line U. He's come from Notre Dame, you know, the school where they had Ronnie Stanley and Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey. So I think Joe Alt is going to be a really good player in this league. So yeah, if the Chargers stay at 5, I wouldn't be surprised if they take him there. But we got to move on to the Giants at number 6. Now, if the scenario goes the way I have it going, I think it's very obvious the Giants will go receiver here. For you, it's a little interesting because J.J. McCarthy is still out there. And you've heard rumors about the Giants and maybe trading up for a quarterback or maybe taking a quarterback with number 6 overall pick. The weird part about it is Daniel Jones, potentially, his career could end with the Giants the way it started with the Giants. The Giants had the 6 overall pick in 2019, and they took Daniel Jones with that pick when they still had Eli Manning. That's why the fans went crazy with that pick. So Daniel Jones was the 6th overall pick of the 2019 draft. The Giants got the 6th overall pick this year. And for me, though, I think you give Jones one more shot. You give Jones one more shot because you saw 2 years ago when he was healthy with Brian Daboll, he led this team to the playoffs, and he played really, really well that year. Last year, yes, he didn't play well, but he only played 6 games. I don't think you could really make an evaluation of a guy after 6 games. I know he's been with the Giants for a while. I know he's been with them, and they really couldn't move off that contract this year. I think because you have a guy that led you to the playoffs and won a road playoff game, I think you stick with him and you don't take a quarterback here. That's why I got the Giants taking Malik Nabers out of LSU. The guy is so explosive. He's a little small, but he's so explosive. Probably one of the most explosive receivers in this draft. Really good route runner. At 6, I got the Giants taking Malik Nabers out of LSU. Justin, do the Giants surprise us and take McCarthy, or do they pass on a quarterback at 6?
No, I haven't taken Roma Dunze. I think McCarthy would be a mistake. Going 6. I get the Vikings having to do it because they're really desperate. I don't think you want McCarthy. I'll kind of explain when I take him later on here in the first round, but I am going wide receiver too because, like, you know, you'll probably agree with me. He really hasn't had a true number one.
Never. It's really been Darius Slayton's been his best receiver.
Yeah.
Throughout his entire career, even with the Giants. Mm-hmm. He's never had a true number one receiver, and he has won a playoff game. Don't forget that. I know he hasn't been a great quarterback, but he has won a playoff game. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he has. I know against that Vikings team. They still impressed what they got. They went on the road and they beat them. And Roma Dunze, again, coming off that wonderful year with Washington where they just had a trio of great wide receivers. He's a little small, so he does struggle if you jam out the line. But he's got great top-end speed. And he did add 15 pounds before last season. So he's getting kind of, got a bit stronger there. But, he led up the whole FBS last year with over 1,600 receiving yards. So I think Roma Dunze, you get Daniel Jones here one more shot with them. Because with the other quarterbacks out there, I think it would be a reach here for the Giants to take McCarthy because they don't desperately need him or a Penix or Bo Nix. So I think you tried it one more year here with Daniel Jones. And hey, if it doesn't work out, you get a quarterback next year. You got him to pair up with a Roma Dunze next year.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I don't think taking a quarterback would help this team at all towards this season. It doesn't make the team better because, you know, you'd either have a rookie quarterback starting, or you'd have a huge cap hit to sitting on the bench. So I don't think that drafting a quarterback here would make this team better in 2024. All right, maybe it helps this team in the long run, but it definitely doesn't help them in 2024. I think the best thing that's going to help this team get back to the playoffs in 2024 is taking a wide receiver here. That's why I think it's crucial they take either Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze with this pick. And I think they definitely should pass on the quarterback. I still think Daniel Jones can play in this league. I do. I know this is the year. This is the year for Daniel Jones. If he plays poorly or even gets hurt again, it's over. But I think giving him one more shot, I think makes sense. That's why I like a wide receiver here, and I like Neighbors.
Yeah, and I think another thing too is, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think like Joe Shane or Brian Dable will get fired after this year, but like say injuries happen again, they go like 3-14, 4-4, they won like 3 or 4 games, and they draft a quarterback here. Like, you're just leaving the next quarterback for the next owner, or for the next GM and coach. Like,
let me tell you, with Belichick out there,
yeah,
that's, and you know the relationship he has with the Giants organization, if they have another like 6-11 or 5-12 season, there is a chance that both Shane and Daboll could be gone, and the Mariners might just hire Belichick to run the entire thing. So that's why I think Daboll wants them taking a receiver here. I think it makes the most sense to take a receiver here, to take a guy that's going to help your football team this year instead of taking a quarterback who's not going to help your team this year. That's why in 2019, with what Dave Gettleman did, you know, drafting Daniel Jones and still having Eli on the roster made absolutely no sense because, again, they either had, you know, Eli who had either had the number 6 pick on the bench or you have a guy with a big cap hit on the bench. So, I think the passing on the quarterback here, it would be the right move for the Giants.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it definitely would. You got to get the wide receiver here. You got to, because it's like, there was a ton of injuries last year. You hope Daniel Jones gets healthy. You hope the offensive line improves. And again, if that all goes right, I know there's some talk, maybe Darren Waller retires. Maybe you got to go find another tight end. But, you know, that's not the, you know, worst thing in the world. You can find somebody else. So, if this offense all comes together, they're all healthy, like this, you know, this offense is going to be improved. We've saw the flashes with Daniel Jones under Brian Daboll in year one. So, you got to improve that offense. You got to help them out. And to finally get another number one, I know you guys have drafted kind of a couple first rounders at wide receiver the last couple of years, but, you know, they haven't always panned out yet. But hopefully Rome Odunze could be that one.
Yeah, you know, Rome Odunze or Malik Neighbors. We'll see what happens there. But we'll move on to the number 7 pick, and that's for the Tennessee Titans. I think it's pretty obvious here, especially if this guy's out there. I got them taking Joe Alt. Their offensive line was one of the worst in football last year. They got a young quarterback. They got to be able to protect him. They have two pretty good receivers in Hopkins and Ridley, so they got to be able to protect their young quarterback. That's why I think it's pretty obvious here that the Titans take Joe Alt with the number 7 pick. Now, you have Joe Alt going number 5, but do you have the Titans still going offensive line?
I do as well here. I'm going tackle position as well. Out of Oregon State, Tulsia Fuagu from the Beavers. I think, you know, I'm with you with the rookie quarterback there. Well, year two here with Will Levis. You gotta be able to protect him. They've really struggled with that last year. You know, he's a guy that's ready to play day one. He's pretty athletic for his size, and you know, Tennessee kind of needs a couple, you know, they need to add a couple spots here. But I definitely think going off of the line to start is a good plus because, again, who knows if Will Loves is their guy or not. But even if he's not, you got to protect whoever's behind center. And they really didn't do a great job of that last year. So I think going off of tackle, here's the move for Tennessee.
Yeah, I think that would be a good move for the Titans to get a tackle to protect their young quarterback. Now with the 8th pick, that is the Atlanta Falcons. And I think they need an edge. They need an edge rusher. And that is why I got them taking Dallas Turner out of Alabama. And here's the reason why. The Falcons lost 4 games in the second half of the year because their defense did not make the stop they needed to on that last possession. And the biggest reason why is they really didn't have a good edge rusher. I mean, you look at them losing that Minnesota game last year, the Arizona game, the Tampa Bay game, and the Carolina game. They didn't have an edge rusher to make that play at the end of the game. That's why I think this is a need for this team. They got to fill this need. That's why I got Dallas Turner going to the Falcons at 8. Justin, what do you got the Falcons doing at 8?
Yeah, same pick as you here with Dallas Turner. Yeah, I'm completely with you. They got to get another edge guy. They got to get somebody that rushes the quarterback. And you got a guy in Dallas Turner the last 2 years. He's been second in the SEC and with 22.5 sacks total. So he's a guy that can get after the quarterback. You know, he's pretty quick and plays hard of the whistle. But, you know, can be a little inconsistent at times, stop the run and all that. But I think Atlanta needs to get another. They need an edge guy here to get after the quarterback. And I think Dallas Turner would fit very nicely with the Atlanta Falcons.
with the number 9 overall pick. That is the Bears again. Interesting here where they would go. A lot of people are saying edge rusher, maybe Brock Bowers. I just think this they're going to go best player available here. And I think, I know they got Keenan Allen. I know they got DJ Moore, but you know how many years Keenan Allen has left? So I'm going to go receiver here. I'm going to have them taking Rome Odunze with the number 9 overall pick. I got the Bears taking Odunze. Justin, what do you got the Bears going here? Edge rusher or wide receiver? What do you got them doing?
No, I'm with you here, too. I get wide receiver, but I'm going to take Malik Nabers, wide receiver out of LSU. Pairing nicely here with Caleb Williams. He's a guy that's really explosive offensively. Caleb can throw the deep ball downfield, so I think that could be a nice matching there. And he's a guy that can go up for 50-50 balls and come down with them in traffic. So I like Malik Nabers here going to Chicago there and really helping out that Chicago offense where they did really reamp this offseason. So nice couple pieces here for Caleb Williams to put him in the best position possible here.
Yeah, the Bears definitely did going out and trading for Keenan Allen, going out and signing DeAndre Swift. And then if they do get Rome Odunze, they're really putting Kyler Murray is in a great situation if that is the case. Now at number 10, we got the Jets. And yes, I very easily could have them go and tackle here. And if Joe Alt is still on the board for some reason, he probably won't. The Jets got to take him. But I do think with Joe Alt not being on the board, I don't know if any of these tackles could help their team this year. The Jets are playing for this year with them signing Tyron Smith, with them signing Mike Williams, with Aaron Rodgers at 40 years old. The Jets are playing for this year. So I'm going to take a guy that's going to help the Jets this year, and that's why I'm going to have them taking Brock Bowers with the number 10 overall pick, the tight end out of Georgia. I think I know the offensive line is the weakest spot, but outside of the offensive line right now, I think the tight end is the weakest spot on their offense. That's why I think Brock Bowers would be a really good fit to the Jets here at 10. Justin, what do you got the Jets doing at 10?
Yeah, I thought about going tight end with Bowers here too, but I got them taking the Penn State tackle. Do you know how to pronounce his name?
Olufashan.
Okay. I got him taking him to tackle out of Penn State. And I get what you're saying. They really do need help, at the tight end spot. That's a big need. And I know they got Tyron Smith, but like he's a guy that you cannot rely on.
You're 100% right about Tyron Smith not being able to stay. Now, last year was able to do it, but he's missed so much time over the last like 3 or 4 years. You're 100% right about that. And you saw it happen with Aaron Rodgers last year.
Yeah. Because like even, he was going to get hurt at some point, I felt. Like he would have got hurt with that off how bad that offensive line was. Again, I get your point for this year, getting Rodgers another weapon, but he's going to be 41. You got to keep this guy upright. I think he'd come in day one and be able to provide and help out on that offensive line. Because on the other side, you got Verjao Tucker, that he's got the two that hasn't been able to stay healthy either. So he hasn't allowed a block in 697 career passing blocking snaps. So, he's very elite as a pass blocker, and I think he'd fit perfectly with the Jets. That Joe Douglas, that coming in was supposed to be like his specialty. It really hasn't worked out, but he's usually leaned on these kind of off the lineman picks a lot. And I think that's why he goes there as well.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they go O-line. I just think they're going to take a guy that's going to help their team this year. That's why I got him taking Bowers. But I would not be surprised if they go offensive line, seeing how this offensive line has struggled for years. Just like the Giants offensive line, the Jets offensive line has really, really struggled for a long time. Really, ever since Douglas has been there, it has struggled for a long time. But we'll move on to the 11th pick, and it is the Vikings pick, but I have them trading that pick with the Chargers. So I have the Chargers picking at 11, and I got them taking Troy Fontenot out of Washington. I think the Chargers need another offensive lineman outside of Rashawn Slater. I think they need another offensive lineman with Justin Herbert. As you said earlier, Jim Harbaugh likes those offensive linemen. So with the 11th pick, I got the Vikings trading that pick with the Chargers, and I got them taking Troy Fontenot. Justin, what do you got the Vikings doing at 11?
I got him going quarterback with J.J. McCarthy. I think going to a guy like Kevin O'Connell is a young kind of offensive minded head coach. Like, I think that could help him here. And I think some of the guys that he's going to be able to throw to, like a Justin Jefferson, you know, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, like, I think that's going to help his numbers, McCarthy in his rookie year. But he's a guy that I worry because he had one of the best defenses we've seen in college football, you know, them in that Georgia defense a couple years ago. And he had the best offensive. I know Washington won the Joe Moore Award, but in that national championship game, Michigan's offensive line was the better outside of the two. And, you know, Minnesota, so he's not going to have that elite offensive line. He's not going to have that elite defense. He hasn't really, we really have not seen him in a fourth quarter have to go down the field and make big plays. I know, yeah, because kind of in the Alabama game, he didn't really have to either. Like, you know, so, you know, I see where Minnesota is going. I think maybe because of the fit with O'Connell, it might work out. But he's a guy I'm still not sure on. I know he's a winner, and I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but he did have he really had some really good opponents with him. And again, they were able to run the football. They had two great running backs. But that's where my concern. We just really haven't seen it. You know, there's just not a ton of passing film on him. And I worry a little bit. Maybe this doesn't pan out. But I think going to Minnesota, though, would probably be the best fit for him.
Yeah, and the thing is, yeah, we saw in the Penn State game, he didn't even throw the ball in the second half.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, and listen, give him credit. He led that, you know, he led that drive to tie the game against Alabama in the semifinals. But, yeah, I mean, I think he's I think, yeah, if he goes to the Vikings, and I do think the Vikings are going to trade up. I don't think they're staying at 11. He's going to a good situation with Kevin O'Connell. This is the NFL. I mean, you got to win games on your. There's games where your running game's not going to work. You got to win games on your own. You're down four late in the game. There's no play action. There's no, you know, rollouts, bootlegs. You got to win games on your own. So yeah, I would not. He wouldn't be. You know, I think he's definitely the fourth best quarterback in this class. But you know, the Vikings, they're desperate for a quarterback. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they take him here.
Yeah, me neither. You know, I wouldn't either. Yeah, they're desperate. You know, Sam Darnold's not the answer. So, yeah, desperation, you know, use it to quarterback, and usually that doesn't pan out for the team. But maybe they'll get lucky here, and it does. And, you know, again, maybe a guy like McCarthy's good. Just get another – a guy that just got some championship pedigree, just a dude that just won a lot in college. He, you know, did play a lot. So I think that helps. But, yeah, like outside of that Bama – semifinal game, there's not a lot of him. That TCU game, he threw two big interceptions, you know, last year in the semifinal game. So, you know, in a close game. So there's not a ton on him in a close game. So, you know, we'll see. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, stinks of desperation here. But hey, you know, maybe a guy like O'Connell is the best fit for him.
Yeah, it is a good fit. It definitely would be a good fit if you got Justin Jefferson. You now got Aaron Jones. You got Jordan Addison. You got good weapons too, and TJ Hockenson. You got really good weapons around you if you go to Minnesota. But we're gonna move on to number 12, and it's interesting what the Broncos do here. I don't know if they stay here, but I think if they're here, I just can't see them passing on a quarterback. And I think they reach because this organization is, let's be honest, one of the worst organizations in football. And I wouldn't be surprised if they reach here. I think they're gonna do it. I think they're going to reach for Bo Nix. I think they're going to reach for him. I think they're going to take him here. I think Sean Payton's going to think, you know, they know they just traded for Zach Wilson, you know, this week. But I think they're going to reach, and I think they're going to take Bo Nix here. I think they're going to. I think Sean Payton's going to think, you know, he's going to be thinking he's the next Drew Brees, and he could work with him. So I think with the 12th pick, I think they're going Bo Nix here.
Yeah, I think that would be a mistake, but sounds like it's very possible that could be a case. I think he's a career backup, but he put a ton of football. He played 5 years, so ton of experience. So yeah, maybe Drew Brees, or I mean, not Drew Brees, Sean Payton can work his magic maybe with him, but you know, we'll see. It'll be a tall task there for that. I'm going with them taking the best available guy. That's Brock Bowers, a tight end out of Georgia. He's a superstar, talented guy coming off. You know, he's a really good athlete. He's a good run blocker. He's the only two-time John Mackey Award winner, which is given to the nation's best tight end. So he's such a talented weapon. Again, like before the year, kind of everyone was like, you know, he could be like a top five pick. Like, I, you know, the Denver just has a couple holes to fill. I think going with tight end here, just taking the best available spot. Whoever's going to play quarterback, you know, it's a good tight end target for him there, and Brock Bowers.
Yeah, I think that would be a good pick for the Broncos. I just think they're not going to pass on a quarterback. Seeing what happened with, I mean, honestly, I mean, let's be real. They probably should have just stuck with Wilson another year, but Sean Payton didn't get along with him, wants his own guy. So I think he takes Bo next year with the number 12 overall pick. At 13, we got the Raiders, and I know they need a quarterback, but I think they're going to do it in the second round. I just can't see them reaching for a quarterback. They got a pretty good – and I think they got a pretty smart – I mean, not a great GM, but a good GM now in Tom Telesco. So with this pick, and I know – and Antonio Pierce is a defensive-minded guy. I think they take a defensive player, and they do have a need at the cornerback. They have really good front seven. I mean, Max Crosby, they have another – I'm trying to pronounce his name. They have another good edge rusher, too. They signed Christian Wilkins. Robert Spillane had a good year in middle linebacker. But I think they need a corner. And that's why with the 13th pick, I got the Raiders taking Terrion Arnold out of Alabama with that pick. Justin, what do you got the Raiders doing at 13?
Yeah, I got 13. I almost went corner back as well. I know they could use another guy there, you know, at that position. But I went offensive tackle here again. I went J.C. Latham, guy out of Alabama. You know, I think, you know, he's a – you know, Antonio Pierce, defensive guy, he wanted to bring – he's talked about that physicality. Well, Latham's a very, really physical you know, offensive tackle that, you know, could play the right tackle spot mostly at Alabama. But he's somebody that I think he's a really good run blocker. He only gave up 3 sacks and almost 1,000 career passing block snaps. So he's a pretty good pass blocker as well. I think he's somebody there that – whoever it is playing quarterback, you know, maybe they stick with Gardner Minshew for a year. Maybe they do grab somebody in the second round. You know, don't think it's Aiden O'Connell, but somebody here to kind of protect it, you know, to up front there, offensive line. That's kind of been a major concern for him over the last couple of years. And, you know, I think they sure up that offensive line here with J.C. Latham.
Yeah, I think Latham would definitely be a good pick, even though because they lost their tackle. Well, their tackle went to, one of their tackles went to the Giants this year. I know they got Colton Miller on the other side is really good, but yeah, I think, you know, if they're going to eventually, you know, maybe take a Michael Penix in the second round, it'd be nice to have, you know, a J.C. Latham at the tackle position. Now moving on to the Saints at 14, it's interesting here. I think you can go, you know, you can maybe go. You can go corner, maybe some depth at receiver, but I'm going to go tackle here. Ryan Ramczyk's future is not – they don't know the future of Ryan Ramczyk with this team. And with the 14th pick, I got the Chiefs taking Fashanu out of Penn State. I think they take him with the number 14th overall pick. Justin, who you got the Saints taking at 14?
Aquan Mitchell, the cornerback out of Toledo, he had a really good combine that really got him – shot him up here. You know, I almost went tackle here, going off at the line here as well. But, you know, I think that would have been a reach here, you know, to go for a tackle spot here. But, you know, to kind of shore up, you know, in the back end of that defense, you know, he's a guy that will gamble, but he's a pretty good size. And he's a pretty good man-to-man corner as well. You know, he's got a couple of interceptions in his career. I think he's got a pick six as well. So somebody there to, you know, to in the back end. You know, so I got Kwon Mitchell coming out of Toledo.
All right, with the 15th pick with the Colts, I think, you know, there's some spots. They maybe can go edge. They maybe could go maybe some receiver depth. But I'm gonna go corner here. I think their DS defense was in the bottom half of the league last year. And, you know, you had Quinion Mitchell going number 14. I got him going number 15 to the Colts. I think that's the weakest part of this Colts defense is their secondary. I know they got Kenny Moore, but I think that's the weakest part of the Colts defense. And with the 15th overall pick, I got the Colts taking – Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo. Justin, when do you get the Colts doing at 15?
Yeah, I get Terrion Arnold here going to Indianapolis. Yeah, you mentioned it. You know, Colts' weakest part of their defense right now. Guy that plays good size, and he's got pretty good top speed. And last year, he had tied the most interceptions with 5 in the SEC. So he's not afraid to be physical at the line, and he'll jam you. So I think somebody there to kind of pair up on the other side. Would be huge here for Indianapolis to shore up the corner spot. Cause I know they need a wide receiver too, but I think there's enough depth here where you can get that kind of second or third round on a day too. So I think that's why too, I want corner here.
We got the Seahawks with the 16th pick in the draft. And there's some places the Seahawks could go. I mean, they could go, you know, they could go edge rusher. They did lose one of their edge rushers for a good part of the season. They actually started the year pretty well, rushing the passer, sacked Daniel Jones 10 times. But I think that they need some help on the defensive line. They also could go corner. They could go they could go offensive line too. But I got them going with the pass rusher. I got them going with the kid from UCLA. I got them going with Latua Latu out of UCLA with the number 16th overall pick. Justin, we got the Seahawks doing it at 16.
Yeah, I got them going offensive line here with Troy Fontu from Washington. You know, he's a guy that could start, you know, I think early on there. Yeah, could start, you know, I could start that left guard spot. They need it. But, you know, he could play tackle as well if need be. So right now he's a better run blocker than he is a pass blocker. But, you know, I think he's somebody that's good, you know, again, Washington's offensive line was still pretty good. They won the Joe Moore Award. You know, so I think he's pretty good, you know, offensive lineman. They do, you know, that's kind of another hole that they need to fill here. So that's why I went with Troy Fontu here out of Washington. Now, right nearby, and, you know, stays pretty close to where he plays college ball.
Definitely makes a lot of sense. In an earlier mock draft, I had that. I actually had that in an earlier one, then I changed it. I hadn't taken that too, but yeah, it definitely makes sense for them to go with the offensive tackle because their offensive line struggled last year. So it would make sense with them getting a tackle at the number 16 spot. I just had them going defense because they have a defensive head coach right now in Mike McDonald. So that's why I had them going defensive end. With the number 17th overall pick, I mean, the Jags can do some things here. They could easily take a receiver here. But also, I think a big weakness of the Jaguars was their secondary last year. So I got the Jaguars going corner here, and I got them taking Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. I got Nate Wiggins going to the Jags with the number 17th overall pick. Justin, what do you got the Jags doing at 17?
Yeah, another one where I almost did go corner here as well, but I went kind of getting Trevor Lawrence another offensive weapon. They did lose Calvin Ridley, so kind of to replace him, I went Brian Thomas, the junior out of the wide receiver out of LSU. You know, he's good at tracking balls downfield. He's not incredibly explosive, but pairing him up, getting another weapon here for Trevor Lawrence. It's, you know, big year for Jacksonville and that team. You know, last year's a little bit down of a year, kind of. They had higher expectations that they've had in a while. You know, injuries kind of weren't able to live up to it. So it's a big year, especially for Trevor Lawrence and that offense. So I went here adding a wide receiver to that arsenal and hopefully, you know, to better that offense.
And yeah, they lost Calvin Ridley, so it would definitely make sense for them to add a wide receiver. With the 18th overall pick, that is the Bengals, and I think they go defense here. Their defense struggled last year. So I think I don't think they're going to go receiver because it looks like T. Higgins is going to be with them this year. So I'm going to go with Byron Murphy. I got the first DT off the board. I'm going with Byron Murphy here. He had a really good year at Texas last year. The Bengals definitely need a defensive tackle. That'd be really good to have him, Trey Henderson, and Sam Hubbard on the same defensive line. I could have went corner, but I already had Wiggins, Arnold, and Mitchell going ahead of him. So I am going to take Byron Murphy out of Texas. With the Bengals number eight, with the 18th pick, I think the Bengals take Byron Murphy out of Texas. Justin, what do you got the Bengals doing at 18?
Yeah, same pick as you here. Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas. Yeah, he's probably the best interior pass rusher at the tackle spot coming in this draft class. And, you know, he's pretty explosive. And, you know, I think, you know, he definitely fits Cincinnati's need here. So I think, you know, could have gone offensive line here as well to help out Joe Burrow. But, you know, I'm with you. I think defense is a little bit more of a need here. And I think adding a guy like Byron Murphy Jr., who I know some too have him ranked like as a top 10 prospect. So to get him at number 18, I think is in a spot where you do need some help here at the D tackle spot, I think would be a home run pick for the Bengals.
We got the Rams picking at 19. And because of the loss of Aaron Donald, I'm thinking they could have went defensive tackle, but it really, for me, it was between, you know, It was between Jared Verse and it was between Johnny Newton. And I just think they need an edge rusher too. I think an edge rusher could really change things. I think Verse might have a little bit more upside. That's why with the 19th overall pick, this is the first Rams draft pick. This is the first time the Rams are drafting the first round since Jared Goff. So it's been a long time since the Rams are drafting the first round. But with the 19th overall pick, I got the Rams taking Jared Verse out of Florida State.
Yeah, crazy how long it's been since they've picked it up. And I went edge rusher here. I went with Latu Latu from the edge rusher out of UCLA here. You know, he's had some, you know, a little bit of kind of, I think, some injury concerns at times, but he's just somebody that's been very explosive. He stays pretty close. We're, you know, right, we're right near UCLA. But he led the FBS last, or the last 2 years, with 23 and a half sacks, and combined in those 2 years. So, you know, I think he's somebody that's really going to help out the defense. That's where they really need some help here. And I think Latu Latu will absolutely bring some help that to the pass rush here next year.
With the 20th overall pick, the Steelers, yeah, they can go offensive line. They might be able to go secondary, but I got them taking a receiver because they lost Deontay Johnson to Carolina. And I think they improved the receiving core. We know the rumors are out there with Brandon Ayuk, but I got the Steelers taking another receiver, and I am taking Brian Robinson with the number 20, with the 20th overall pick. Justin, you got a little bit of a reach here, I feel like, with the Steelers at 20.
Yeah, I got him going, getting the guard here, Jackson Power Johnson out of Oregon. He could play center, which I know is a need here for the Steelers. And, you know, that interior off of the line is something the Steelers need. So, yeah, it might be a little bit of a stretch, but I know they brought him in. I've heard, you know, kind of research all this. I know the Steelers have brought him in a couple of times, so it seems like they've been pretty high on him. But I think he could step in right there immediately. And again, if they need him, he could slide over the tackle as well. So he's got some experience there. So if he's a versatile piece, and I think he's somebody that would definitely bring immediate help to the Pittsburgh offensive line.
He definitely would. But I could see him going O-line, but I got them going receiver. I think they're going to add some depth at receiver to help Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. Now, the 21st overall pick, that is the Dolphins, and I think they fill a need here. They lost Christian Wilkins, who had a really good year, had his best season with them last year, lost him in free agency to the Raiders. I think they end up taking a defensive tackle here. I got them taking Johnny Newton out of Illinois. He had a really good year for Illinois last year. I got him taking Johnny Newton. I got the Dolphins taking Johnny Newton out of Illinois. Justin, what do you got the Dolphins doing at 21?
Yeah, going defense as well, but going as a pass rusher, Jared Verse, the edge rusher out of Florida State. So I you know, they lost a lot in free agency, you know, and Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips are both coming off major injuries. So you never know how they're going to come.
Great point there with Phillips and Chubb coming off injuries. And I heard them late in the season too.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And you know, so you never know. They're both kind of, you know, especially Chubb's you know, a little bit older. They've been in the league for a bit here. So, you know, I think somebody now, you get Jared Verse, who, again, was an unranked prospect coming out of high school, goes to Albany, tears it up there, now goes to Florida State, and becomes an All-American the last 2 years there. So, you know, he's really tough to block when he wants it. But there's been questions about how much he loves the game. I know that's always kind of a concern, but, you know, there's not too many, you know, weaknesses out there with them. But I think Jared Verse, pass rusher there for Miami would fit very well.
I think it's pretty obvious what the Eagles are doing at 22. We've heard rumors that Howie Roseman's going to trade up. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Howie Roseman trades up to get a corner. But I think if the Eagles stay at 22, I think it's pretty obvious what they do. I think they take Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. I think this is the obvious pick here for the Eagles. I think the Eagles, the secondary is definitely their biggest. Their back seven was terrible at the end of the season. And it's still not good at all right now. I know they've got a good front four, great, really good offense. Their offense is really good if Jalen Hurts stays healthy, but I think they need a corner here, and that's why I got them taking Cooper DeJean with the number 22 overall pick. Justin, what do you got the Eagles doing at 22?
Yeah, I got him going Cooper DeJean here, too, out of Iowa. He's a guy that might turn more into a safety at the next level, but you know, he's a guy, 2-5 interceptions. He had 3 pick sixes. He's a return special. He could be a return guy. He's done a little bit as well there. But yeah, he's somebody that could be very fun to watch. The Eagles are very, you know, with Slay, you know, they got a lot of older guys back there in the secondary. So we get a younger guy in there. Their defense needs a lot of work for the way things ended last year. So I think going cornerback here would be a nice fit here for Philly.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So with the number 23 third overall pick, that is the Vikings. It's the Vikings pick, but I have that because of this trade I have with them, with the Vikings getting J.J. McCarthy. I have them giving up the 23rd pick and the 11th pick to the Chargers. And I got the Chargers taking a receiver. And I try to ask you. I had everybody ask you before the show how to pronounce his name.
Adady Mitchell
out of Texas. Because you saw what the Chargers lost. They lost the receiver and they lost both their receivers, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. So I think it makes sense for the Chargers to take a receiver with the number 23 overall pick. But you have the Vikings team in this pick. What do you get the Vikings doing at 23?
Yeah, I got the Vikings here going wide receiver. Johnny Newton, the defense tackle out of Illinois. So now they go to the defensive line, and he's somebody that's very polished, defensive guy coming in. He led the FBS over the last couple of years, and he had 102 QB pass rushes or QB pressure. So he's somebody that is very good at getting to really good at getting to the quarterback. So, I think he's somebody where the Vikings defense under Brian Flores did get better last year, throughout the year. Now Johnny Newton, who's a pretty good pass rusher at that D tackle spot. Brian Flores likes to bring the pressure, and I think Johnny Newton could help him out in that area.
I think Johnny Newton would be a good selection for the Vikings at 23. But number 24, we got to go to the Cowboys. And now they've lost Tyron Smith. I got them I know Tyler Smith is going to play tackle, but I got them taking another tackle. I got them taking J.C. Latham out of Alabama. I think the Cowboys need to beef up that offensive line, and I think this would be a good pick for them, especially in a huge year for Dak Prescott, to take an offensive tackle here at 24.
Yeah, I would not be surprised either. I thought about it, but Jerry Jones, it's been a tough offseason for him.
And he said, we're going all in, and he's done absolutely nothing. Outside of getting Eric Kendricks.
Yeah, there was not much done there. So I get Dallas here, Gunning Xavier Worthy. It's been Jerry gets big flashy guy out of Texas. So Cowboy fans in that area have probably seen Xavier Worthy. He's an absolute speed burner. He can get jammed at the line at times and struggle to get off those. But he's such a speed threat to add another weapon here for Dak Prescott and to try to help, alleviate some of the fan base here to try to get some excitement here for the Dallas Cowboys in the offseason. Bringing in a Xavier Worthy, I could definitely see that move by Jerry Jones.
They definitely need depth of receiver position, so Xavier Worthy would make sense at 24. At number 25, we got the Packers, and I got them improving the offensive line. I got them improving the offensive line because David Bautiari's gone. Even though Bautiari's missed a ton of time over the last couple of years, but I have them improving the offensive line, and I have them taking our Marius Mims out of Georgia. You got a great quarterback, and you have potentially a really good quarterback in Jordan Love. You definitely want to be able to protect him. So I got our Marius Mims with the number 25 overall pick. Justin, what do you got the Packers doing at 25?
Yeah, I got the same one here. Marius Mims, the tackle here from Georgia. The tackle, got some good athleticism, got some talent. He was a former five-star prospect, and, he's had a lot of injuries throughout his career. And, I do think he's got a ton of upside here if he can stay on the field. But that's kind of been the one big concern with him. But he's somebody here to help pass protect for Jordan Love, who, had a really good year last year and hoping to build off that and going off the tackle here. I think would be the fit here for the Green Bay Packers.
With the 26th pick, I got the I think it's gonna be interesting to see what the Bucs do here, but I think they struggled. Their pass defense struggling. A big reason for that was because of their lack of pass rush. That's why I got my guy from Penn State going here at 26. I got Chop Robinson going at 26 for the Bucs. Justin, what do you got the Bucs doing at 26?
Yeah, I'm going with same team here, Chop Robinson, the edge rusher out of Penn State, and yeah, gives him, he gives it all, every snap he gives, he's got a full motor, and he's a guy that could become a three down pass rusher in the next level, and the run kind of, against the run he could develop, or he's pretty good. I mean, against the top of the run, so I like Chop Robinson coming out of Penn State to help out that defense this year, kind of getting a younger piece there, and I think he fit well with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
All righty, 27. That is the Cardinals' pick, and their defense was, outside of the Commanders, probably the worst in football. I think every defense starts with the defensive with an edge rusher, and that's why I got the Cardinals taking an edge rusher here. I got them taking Darius Robinson out of Missouri. Justin, what do you got the Cards doing at 27?
I'm going to go defense as well, but in the secondary, going with Kool-Aid McCannister, Kool-Aid McCannister out of Alabama. Out of Alabama here. They do need to get better there at the back end, Arizona. And, you know, they added Sean Bunting Murphy, but they need to, I think, they add another kind of younger quarterback, cornerback at that on that defense. He didn't allow a touchdown in the over, you know, 1,200 cover snaps. So he's very smart. He kind of knows his responsibilities. He does miss a lot of tackles, so that's something that he's got to improve on. But I think Arizona, you know, he could really help out Arizona that back end, which did struggle last year in passing defense.
At 28, I think it's obvious where the Bills go. I think they're going to try to trade up to get a receiver. But losing Stephon Diggs, Allen needs a receiver. He needs his guy. Remember, Josh Allen was not great before Stephon Diggs showed up. And then Josh Allen definitely popped after that. But now I think he needs to get his next guy. And I think it's going to be Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. I think that's their pick at 28. Justin, which receiver you got the Bills taking at 28?
Yeah, I got him. Yeah, I got them. Dady Mitchell out of Texas here. Yeah, they trade away Josh or Stephon Diggs. So they really, you know, they need to get another wide receiver in there for Josh Allen. He's got good size. He led the, you know, he led the Big 12 with 11 reception touchdowns last year. He's got great hands, but he hasn't played a ton of football. He only started playing high school, so he's still kind of learning. Hasn't played a ton of football yet, so he's still got, you know, ways to go here, learning wise and probably in development wise. So I think he'd be a very nice pickup there for Buffalo.
With the 29th overall pick, I think it's another obvious pick here for the Lions, and that's cornerback. That was one of their weaknesses last year in the secondary. Remember Nick Mullins? You totally said Nick Mullins over 400 yards against him last year, and then this team gave up a 17-point lead in the NFC Championship game. So I think that one of their biggest issues was corner. That's why I get the Lions taking Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama with the 29th overall pick. Justin, what corner do you have the Lions taking at 29?
Again, I'm getting Nate Wiggins here out of Clemson. He's a guy that probably could go in the top 20, and Detroit here would get him at a steal at number 29. Yeah, they got to get better in that back end there for the Detroit Lions. Yeah, they you know, gave a lot of yards there to Nick Mullins, and I think he'd be huge, and he's pretty good at coming downhill and run support as well. So I think he's somebody too that, you know, could you get him at 29 could be a major steal here for Detroit.
At 30, we got the Ravens, and I think they can either go edge rusher or O-line, but I think they got to go O-line here. I think the Ravens got to go O-line here. That's why I got them, because they lost Morgan Moses, they lost Simpson, they lost them both to the Jets, ironically. So I think they go offensive line here, and I got Tyler Guyton with the 30th overall pick. Justin, what do you got the Ravens doing to 30?
Yeah, I got him Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle out of Arizona, to help protect Lamar Jackson, as he's that huge upside. At that position, and he's a guy too that's really good in the running game, which, you know, Baltimore really heavily relies on, and he's a pretty good pass protector as well. So I got them going Jordan Morgan out of Arizona
with the 31st pick. That's the 49ers, and a lot of people got to realize Brock Purdy is not even close to the weak link on that team. The weak link on that team last year was the offensive line. The offensive line was middle of the outside of Trent Williams. That was not a good offensive line last year. You saw at the end of that Super Bowl when Chris Jones made that play against, got there so quick, and Brock Purdy had to get rid of the ball quick on third down. Brock Purdy is not the weakling of this team. He's a top 15 to top 10 quarterback in this league. What the 49ers need to do is they need to improve the offensive line. That's why I got him to. And I know the receivers definitely could be another move because of the rumors with Brandon Ayuk. But I think offensive line should be the priority here for the 49ers. That's why I got him taking Tyrese Fugata out of Oregon State with the 31st overall pick.
Yeah, I thought about going offensive line here as well with the Niners, but I went wide receiver here with the Niners. I got Ladd McConkey at the wide receiver at Georgia. I think he's really, really talented. I think he fits what the Niners want to do offensively, because he's a guy that knows how to get open. He runs really good routes. He's a guy that's got really good yards after catch potential. So I think he is somebody that just really could fit here with that offense. I think, you know, Shanahan could scheme up some things, adding Ladd McConkey to that offense.
Yeah, I definitely could. He definitely could. I think it'd be fun to see Ladd McConkey in that 49ers offense. So we'll wrap up talking about the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. They got the 32nd overall pick. And I know they got Hollywood Brown, but there's a potential Rashid Rice suspension looming. So I do think they take another receiver, and I think they go Keon Coleman here. I think Hollywood Brown is a smaller receiver. This is a bigger receiver that's going to help Patrick Mahomes in the red zone. Keon Coleman will be very lucky if he gets drafted here. But I got Keon Coleman going here with the number 32 overall pick. Justin, we got the defending champs doing a 32.
Yeah, thought about wide receiver there as well. Coleman would fit well. Yeah, that big wide receiver. He's got some, drops can be an issue too, which we saw, very popular in that Kansas City locker room in the regular season. He's had a bunch of those. But, yeah, I got him going off tackle for Tyler Guyton. He'll need some time there to add some more strength there to kind of be a right tackle. But he is pretty good in pass protection. He did not allow a sack throughout his career. So I think he's somebody that could fit there for Kansas City, because that is a need for him as well here going off and tackle.
Oh, it definitely is. Yeah, because their offensive line – especially at tackle. They definitely struggled at tackle on the offensive line last year. But that's going to wrap up this episode of Sports Talk with R&J. But we're going to be back in about 10 minutes to talk about the NBA playoffs. So make sure in 10 minutes you tune in for that.
Hello, my name is Joe McGuire. I'm the president of Clovercrest Media Group. And here at CMG, we have a wide variety of podcasts, including sports shows like Keys to the City, The Roll Call, Throwing Jabs, All Four Downs, and Jawing About the G-Man. And great true crime shows like Sticky Meat, Crimes and Consequences, Ivy League Murders, and Bird, The Unsolved Murder of David Eichmann. You can find all these podcasts and so much more by visiting clovercrestmedia.com.